So, the question that we were asking before is, what do you love to talk about? What are those things that just get you going, that you love having a conversation about? So, anybody got any answers for me?
Food.
Football. Absolutely. Music. Guitars. Sorry. And what was this one? Your job and your students, lovely. Any more for any more?
Days.
Holidays. Cooking. Who, was that you that said that, Phil? No, was it you, Carl? Yeah, right. Very good. Yeah, so there's those things that perhaps we love to talk about that maybe kind of people know that when we get talking on those topics, those subjects, we just don't shut up. And maybe for you, it's your, well, we've had some examples, it's a sports team perhaps though, or a TV series, it's your kids, or the holiday that you went on. For me, it's probably a combination of fried chicken and sport. Now, if you've been part of this church for some time, you'll have heard me talk about this before, but my first job when I was 16 was KFC. And I think this is where I can kind of trace back my love for fried chicken and sport, because at the age of 16, I realized something in my first job. The Olympics were on at the same time. And so I came to this very mature conclusion that work is for the rest of your adult life, but the Olympics only comes around once every 4 years. So I quit my job to watch the Olympics. And that meant that my KFC career was somewhat short-lived. But in my brief time of working for KFC, something happened. One day, a complaint came in over the landline phone. Anybody remember the landline phone? Anybody still got a landline phone? There's a few. And this complaint came in over the landline because it was before Google reviews. And the complaint was that the chips, the fries, were too salty. Now, I got the blame for the chips being too salty, even though I'd been nowhere near the salt shaker that day and nowhere near the chips. The person that had been was my boss's girlfriend. But as the new guy, I became the fall guy. And so, as you can see, I've dealt with that. I have moved on, and the Narrow Path series has been really helpful as we've talked about blessed are the merciful. Jesus is still doing a work in me anyway. But talking of salt is something that Jesus moved on to talk about in the Sermon on the Mount, this amazing collection of Jesus' teaching that we're journeying through together as a church in Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to read through this passage together in a moment, but let me just remind us where we're at in Jesus' sermon. So we've just journeyed through the Beatitudes, this as we kind of just watched from that clip there on the Chosen, this really manifesto of Jesus' teaching, of his kingdom, of who he is and what he's all about and the place that you will find him most, the people that you will find him most among. And then last week, as we heard from that praise report before, we had our brilliant FDY takeover. I think they deserve another round of applause because they did brilliant. Well done, guys. So proud of you. And a massive well done as well to our FDY team. You're doing an amazing job as well. In fact, most of them are in the room behind, aren't they? But should we make loads of noise like they do sometimes? Come on, let's cheer for them in the back there. There we go. Well done. And so today we're back in the Narrow Path series, but just for one Sunday, and then we're actually going to take 2 months off. And then we're going to come back to the rest of Jesus' sermon in June. If you found the Beatitudes challenging, strap yourselves in for June, everybody. It's going to be an exciting time together as we continue to journey through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. But here we arrive with Jesus talking about salt. And so let's read this through together, because Jesus turns now to talk about this is who, as followers of Jesus, this is who we are in the world that we live in. Here's what Jesus says: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these words that you spoke many years ago that are still so relevant to us today. And we just ask now, Holy Spirit, would you guide us and would you lead us? Would you change us? Would you transform us? And would you put these amazing words into action in our lives? Come and speak to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So to understand what Jesus is talking about here when he's talking about salt and light, we need to remember the context. Because as he's talking about salt, they didn't buy it from Aldi in a grinder like this. But salt in Jesus' time, it was essential. Now today we've got fridges and we've got freezers, but back then salt was really important for preserving the food, for keeping it fresh. Salt, like we do today, it seasoned their food. But salt was used for so many other things as well. For example, it was used for healing wounds. And so in Jesus' time, life really depended on salt. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, he's saying that your presence in the earth, it matters. He's saying the way that we live our lives as his followers in the earth, it matters. He's saying salt brings flavor, it preserves what is good. And so the kind of life then that is shaped by the Beatitudes, which he's just shared, is meant to bring life into the world around us. It's meant to bring flavor. It's meant to bring what is good to people around us. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He gives us this other image. Just bear with me a moment. Oh, dear. Right, bear with me a moment. It's really hot, this candle. There we go. Can you see it? I forgot to sort something out, and so this is the light, which is helping us out a lot today. Hang on, I just use this to see my notes. Jesus goes on to say this other image. He says, salt in the earth, but he also says that you are light in the darkness. You are the light of the world. Now, in the ancient world, homes were dark. There was no street lights. They didn't have electricity. You knew that already, didn't you? And so they'd light their small oil lamp and they'd put it on a stand and they'd put it up high in order to light the whole room. And so light was precious. And Jesus says to those listening back then, and he says to those today who have chosen to follow him, that's you. You are the light of the world. Wherever you go, you carry something of the light of God. You bring mercy instead of revenge in KFC. You bring peacemaking instead of conflict. You bring purity instead of compromise. And he's saying, if you live this way, then you become salt and light. Your life begins to taste different. Your life begins to shine differently. A pastor called Helen Kim Nowak, she talks about something that she calls a beauty moment. Those moments where something just makes you stop and go, wow. Turn to somebody near you and just say, wow. I realize that could have been inappropriate, but anyway. You are all image bearers of God, so wow, right? But she uses different examples. And so I was thinking, well, what are those wow moments for me? So I think we've got some images here that illustrate these wow moments for me. So a piece of music, like, you know, a piece of music that just makes you go, wow. A sporting moment like the 99 Champions League final. Can I get an amen? Maybe for you, it's that moment in Istanbul when that amazing comeback happened. Perhaps it's the Paul Rideout winning goal in the 1995 Cup Final. Maybe as an Arsenal fan, it was last Sunday, that wow moment when you won. Oh, no. Don't worry, your day will come. Your day will come, I'm sure. Your day will come. Obviously, you know my love of fried chicken. And then for me, I love a sunset. Anybody else love a sunset that just makes you go, wow, that moment as the light disappears over the horizon? I think we could take that off, Adam. I think it's causing division. But it's those moments in life where you're just lifted beyond yourself. She talks about those moments and how they're reminders that, yes, we live in a broken world, but there is joy to be found. There is more. And when followers of Jesus live in this way, our lives can become that kind of moment for others, that others might look and see the flavor that we bring of the kingdom of God. And there's something about us that they say, wow, like, what is it about you? You're different. I need to know what it is about you. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It means then that as we live out his kingdom, people look at us and they see, they taste, and they see that the Lord is good. Now, Jesus gives us a warning in this passage that we've just read together. He says, but if salt loses its saltiness, then it's no longer good for anything. Now, modern salt as we know it is extremely stable, meaning it can't lose its saltiness. It's not possible. But ancient salt that Jesus was talking about, when it was exposed to water or to high humidity, it would become this tasteless white substance. And Jesus is saying, if you lose the very thing that makes you who you are, then you lose your purpose. Now, one of the ways that we, if you are here today and you are a follower of Jesus, one of the ways that we can lose our saltiness is if we choose to stay in the salt shaker. If we choose in our lives not to get around others, not to be the presence of Jesus and to stay in the shaker and to keep this revelation that we found of who Jesus is, of how good he is, and we keep it to ourselves. It's a bit hard to do whilst holding this, but Jesus is saying that if we surround ourselves only with other Christians, we stay comfortable and we don't step into places where we're needed. He's saying the salt is not meant to stay in the shaker. It's meant to bring flavor. It's meant that we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to be the salt and light of the kingdom to others, that others will taste and see that God is good. Now let's come back to that question that we asked together at the start. What do you love talking about? Because we talk often the most about the things that we love. And if we've truly encountered Jesus, then we carry that good news. Now for many people today, Christianity is quite a divisive word. It's not a neutral thing. Maybe you've experienced that in school, in college, in the workplace, when somebody hears that you're a Christian and it gets a bit of a negative reaction. It's something that people are cautious about. It's something that people are resistant about. And often that's because of perhaps some past hurt or maybe some misunderstanding or past experiences that they've had with church, or sadly they've known followers of Jesus or people who've said that they're followers of Jesus, but actually their life looked far from it. But at the same time, something seems to be happening in our nation at the moment. Something seems to be shifting, especially amongst younger generations. There's this growing sense that the story that they've been passed down from previous generations, this story of you don't need Christianity, you don't need Jesus, just look within yourself and create your own meaning, they're saying, hey, that story's not working for me. And you know what's happening is in our society at the moment, there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of people asking themselves this question, surely there's more to life than this. Surely there's more to life than this script that's been passed down to me. And it seems to be, if you hear different stories from around churches in the UK at the moment, that people are sending up this kind of SOS, and they don't really know where they're sending it to. But people are asking, is Jesus a force for love or a force for hate? Could Jesus actually help me with my anxiety, with my depression? Is he beautiful as you say he is? Is he good? And you know what I think is often the case is that people change through relationship, through trust, through what they see lived out by people around them. Which means that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've decided to follow Jesus, then there's an amazing opportunity today for us to be salt and light to the world around us. Now, before we go on any further, I want you to just pause for a moment. As we talk about being salt and light to the world around us, I wonder who comes to mind for you right now? Who is there in your life that God has placed around you? Not as a project, but as a person that you really care about. Maybe it's a friend or a family member or a colleague or a neighbor. Someone that you would love to see come to know Jesus, that you are desperate for them to experience this good news that you've experienced. And you might have already somebody that comes to mind. Maybe there's actually a few names that spring to mind. And so just take a moment now and just quietly think, who are they? Because as we talk through this next part together, I want you now just to keep them in mind. Keep them at the front of your mind. And with them in mind, I want to talk about being a witness. Something that maybe brings up a range of emotions for all of us. Being a witness, or you might have heard of it referred to as what we sometimes call in church evangelism. And some of you get really fired up when you hear those words and you are just ready. Come on, Steve, we're going out to the streets. Let's go. Well, just hold your horses for a moment. But I think that there's actually quite a few of us who maybe feel a bit emotionally allergic to those words, witness and evangelism. Now, I recently found out that I am allergic to horses. So that's put an end to my career as a jockey that I was looking forward to. But what I've discovered is that something in my body reacts badly to something that isn't bad in itself. Horses aren't bad, are they? They're good. But my body, for some reason, rejects them. Now, I think for a lot of us, that's maybe what's happened when it comes to evangelism and witness. Something within us just reacts badly to something that is actually, should be a good, beautiful, and life-giving thing. And there's many reasons why maybe that's the case. Maybe we've seen it happen badly in church, or we've been part of it happening badly at times. And I've tried quite a few evangelism methods in my life as a follower of Jesus. I've been door knocking. I've handed out Christian flyers and tracts and newspapers. I've preached on street corners. And at one point, I even danced to Christian hip-hop music in the streets of Widnes, Warrington, Runcorn, St. Helens. And I even went international onto the streets of Spain, dancing along to 29th Chapter, if anybody remembers them. I should clarify, I wasn't a solo act. I was part of a missions group from the church here that some of you will remember and have been part of. Now, I'm not saying that those methods are wrong. God can use anything, But if I'm honest, I would be very surprised if I reach heaven and somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I saw you dancing on the streets of Widnes so wonderfully well. And in that moment, I just fell to my knees and I says, Jesus, you must be Lord. I imagine it maybe had the opposite effect, actually, if I'm honest. But I think for many of us, part of that allergic reaction that we feel towards evangelism and witness comes from realizing that so much of what gets called evangelism has often missed that key ingredient, which is relationship. The key ingredient of relationship. And so how do we live out being salt and light, as Jesus says? And how do we live it out with those names that are on our hearts right now? Here's an acronym for us, and actually it's under your seats. So under your seats, you'll see a little business card. You can pick that up, and you get a preview of what the four things are. We're going to start with the letter S. So S represents start with love. Start with love. Now, keeping those names in mind, the first step isn't simply about what you say, but it's about how you love. Because Jesus didn't just broadcast messages, he actually built relationships. He ate meals with people, he listened to people, he welcomed people. It was said in Luke's gospel, Luke 7, verse 34, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Jesus was all about building relationships, he was all about loving people. He didn't treat people like projects. He met them with love. And I think that matters so much for us because the first step in being a witness is not about speaking more, it's about loving deeply. It's making space at the table. It's being good listeners. It's turning strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family. And very often, the reason why people become open to Jesus, it's not because they were argued into a relationship with Jesus. It was because they experienced something different in the lives of Jesus' followers. Whether it's love or forgiveness, it's grace, it's mercy, it's unexpected kindness and generosity. It's something that made them curious because of the salt and light of Jesus that they have witnessed. And so as you are already loving that person that maybe has come to mind, or you're just beginning and you're on this journey of being that witness to people around you, make space to listen, make space to be present, and you'll quickly realize something, that you can't do this on your own. Because you don't know what might be going on beneath the surface in that person's life. You don't know what God might already be up to in their life. And so what do? Then we ask for help. We ask for help. And one thing that's really helped me recently is this simple shift in perspective. Instead of thinking, I need to bring God to people, I've started thinking, what if God is already at work in that person's life? What does it look like then? My role is simply to join what the Holy Spirit is already doing. And pastor and author Daryl Johnson, he helped me with this. He said, evangelism is joining a conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with someone. Those people that come to mind, God's putting them on our hearts, I believe, today because he's already at work in their lives. He's already doing something. And he's saying, hey, just ask him for help. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you are the salt and light in their lives. God's already at work. We're not starting something. We're stepping into something and we're partnering with him. And that, by the way, is a great relief because it doesn't depend on us. It isn't anything about us that we want people to take notice and think, wow, it's about Jesus that we want people to take notice. I had this recently when I was meeting up with a friend for a coffee, and I prayed this simple prayer in the car just before. Holy Spirit, help me be present to whatever you are doing here. And within 10 minutes, this person that I was having a catch-up with went on to tell me that out of nowhere, their wife has started going along to church and is on their own kind of faith journey. And suddenly the door just swung wide open for me to be able to talk and share my faith journey and talk a bit about Jesus. And I just believe that that was the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I was already at work here. You just needed to ask me for some help. You just need to ask me to guide you in this relationship. The next thing is to light the way. Light the way. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We don't point people to ourselves, we point people to him. We live in such a way that people see something different. And then we trust that as they see something different, that maybe they'll begin to ask, what is it about you? Why are things kind of different? Why do you live this way? Why do you speak this way? Why don't you do this? And why is that important to you? And then there's just that opportunity for us to light the way, to just gently point people to Jesus. John chapter 1, we get this great kind of witness encounter, witness moment. Let's look at it together. It says this, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person that Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. Just keep that on there for now, if that's okay. What this encounter that we get between Philip and Nathanael, Philip, he just simply lights the way. And he says to Nathanael, we found him. And Nathanael, he's got questions. Like, I don't buy it. You can't have. Not from Nazareth. Philip, in this moment, he doesn't argue with him. He simply says, come and see. Come and see. Like, you've got to come and find out for yourself. And that's it. Come and see. We found something as followers of Jesus. We think it's good. Why don't you come and explore it for yourself? You can bring your questions. You can bring your doubts, your story, and we'll walk with you. And that's why spaces like Alpha are just a great way for people to explore. They're so helpful. They give people the room to explore who Jesus is at their own pace. And there's been some great stories of that on our recent Alpha course. And maybe you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but you've got questions. Maybe somebody invited or you just found yourself here today. And you're thinking, like, there's something about this Jesus. And I'm interested, I'm intrigued, but I've got my questions, I've got my doubts. And I'd love to invite you to sign up for our next Alpha course, and you can do that through our website. You can chat to Sean, who heads up Alpha. Sean, give everybody a wave just so they know, here he is. Or you can chat to our Connect Point afterwards as well. We'd love to invite you to journey on the Alpha course. But here's the final piece. As we start with love, as we ask the Holy Spirit for help, and as we try to live in a way that just lights the way for people, we can maybe feel this quiet pressure in us. That feeling that in some way it all depends on us. That we have to just say the right thing or get the moment right and then something amazing will happen. But you know, it doesn't work like that. Take the pressure off yourself today. This is where we come to the final point. Together, we trust God. We trust God together. Jesus says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. He doesn't say a single light on a hill. He says a town. In other words, this isn't about individuals, it's about a community. It's about a group of people who choose to live in the way of Jesus together. Loving one another, forgiving one another, serving one another, being generous with one another, welcoming one another. And when we do that as a community, it becomes something visible to the world around us. It becomes something compelling, something that people don't just hear about, but they experience it in followers of Jesus. I have a friend who invited their colleague to church. And their friend was really skeptical and had lots of questions. But my friend just simply said to them, hey, just come and see. Come and see. Now, their colleague would now describe the church as their community, their home, their place that they feel like they belong. A trusted place just to ask those questions without judgment. And you know, they wouldn't say yet that their friend has made this decision to follow Jesus, but they're absolutely on a journey of discovery. Together as a church community, we trust God with the people that we care about. Trusting that he's already at work in their lives and that in his timing, he will reveal himself. Our role isn't to carry the weight of salvation. Our role is to carry the love of Jesus and to trust God with the rest. And so here's this week's 10% stretch. I'm going to finish with something really simple. I've choreographed a new hip-hop dance that I'm going to teach you all now. And then we're going to head to the bandstand in Widnes Town Centre and we're going to go for it. Are you ready? Some of you are, but don't worry. We're not actually going to do that. This card, you've perhaps noticed on the back that there's five lines. What I'd love to encourage you to do is to think of who are those people that God has placed in your mind, he's placed on your heart. And I'd love you just to write their names down. And in the four corners of the room, we've got pens. And I'd love you to write their names down. And then this card, like, take it, keep it with you. And I'd encourage you just daily, like, pray for these names. And just speak blessing over them. Just commit them to God. And keep praying for them daily. And keep asking God. Keep saying, God, would you bring them into your kingdom? God, that they would follow you. People that you care about, people who maybe right now seem really far away from God, and you think to yourself, there's no way. But with God, there is a way. With God, there is a way. And then over the rest of this year, just pray these simple prayers. Lord, bless them. Lord, be with them. Lord, show them your love. Lord, draw them to you. Holy Spirit, would you guide me? Just keep praying those simple prayers over these names. And I'm believing that over this next year, we will see and hear many stories of names from this card who have made that decision to follow Jesus. Anybody up for that? Good. I'm convinced. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So let's be people who bring flavor, who carry his light, who love well, and who simply say to others, come and see. Come and see. The pressure is not on us to fix people. It's not on us to force people or to argue people into the kingdom. Our call is to start with love, to ask for help, to light the way, and to trust God together. And to just simply watch as God gives us those opportunities to say to people, come and see.